Good morning and welcome to this service of worship here at Latrobe United Presbyterian Church, 340 Spring Street in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. I'm John Simpson. I'm the interim pastor here. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday here at the church at 11 o'clock a.m. Today is, in fact, the Sunday of Labor Day weekend. And so let us hear this call to worship and the words of Jesus. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now let us join together in singing this hymn of praise that was sung recently here at Latrobe United Presbyterian Church. On this Labor Day weekend, let us pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, you have placed the bountiful gifts of life at our disposal, but you still give us the opportunity and the challenge to use them in a variety of ways. Lord, you have made honest toil a part of the pattern of life, and we're grateful for your goodness. Help us to see our work as a privilege and not as a burden. Guide us in using our creative abilities for the good of others, expressing our love through our work. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. The first scripture passage comes from Psalm 24. Listen for God speaking to you through these words. "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. may ascend to the hill of the Lord, who may stand in his holy place. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God, his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift up your ancient doors, and the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and all who live in it. Amen. Now listen to this hymn as it was sung recently here at Latrobe United Presbyterian Church. The second scripture lesson is taken from Matthew, the 6th chapter, beginning to read at the 19th verse and reading down through verse 24. These passages are, in fact, a part of what is referred to as Jesus's Sermon on the Mount. And it contains some of the most basic teachings of Jesus. Listen for God speaking to you through these words. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Listen now to this hymn as it was sung recently here at La Trobe United Presbyterian Church.
Thank you.
Today we are talking about finding abundance. An angel appeared at a college faculty meeting, and the angel told the dean of the college that because of his unselfish service, that he would be rewarded with a choice of one of three things. He could choose wealth, he could choose wisdom, or he could choose good looks. Without hesitation, the dean selected wisdom. "It is done," the angel said, and then disappeared in a cloud of smoke. All of the faculty members stared at the dean in amazement, and finally one of them had the courage to whisper to the dean, "Now, Dean, now that you have infinite wisdom, say something." The dean paused, looked at them all, and said, "I should have taken the money." The question that we are asking today is, how do you find abundance? And what for you is abundance? How much would it feel, how much would it take for you to feel like you have abundance? In the scripture lesson that I just read from Matthew 6, Jesus instructs his disciples as to where and how they should seek to store up treasures in abundance. Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." The problem with earthly treasures, said Jesus, is that they are not permanent. They will not last forever. He illustrates this with three images. First, he says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moths destroy." Have you ever had a favorite coat or sweater or dress? One that you really, really like. You really enjoy wearing it. And when you hang it up and you put it away at the end of the winter, it is in perfect condition. But when fall rolls around and you take it out again, you find that a small, teeny little hole has been eaten in it. You think to yourself, "Well, that's okay. It's just a small hole." And with that, you hang it in your closet, expecting it to wear it during the winter months. But the months come and the months go, and you never do take that dress, that sweater, that shirt, you never do wear it again. Before long, you find yourself putting it in the donation bag and giving it to Salvation Army. Moths do not do a lot of damage. They just do enough damage. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy." Time and moisture will destroy almost anything. Time and moisture will destroy a car. Time and moisture will destroy a house. Time and moisture will destroy furniture or tools. It's nature's way of getting rid of the things that we make. Several years ago, someone parked a cute little MG sports car along Route 30 near where I live. Every once in a while, I would go by that sports car. It was one that was similar to the one that I own. and the one I enjoy driving so much. As I passed it often, I used to fantasize that maybe, just maybe, the only thing that could be better than my owning a British sports car would be to own two of them. But sanity prevailed, and I never did stop, and I never did buy it. Nor did anyone else. Instead, it sat there, summer and fall and winter and spring. It sat there, summer and winter and fall and spring, summer and winter and fall and spring, for a couple of years. The rain soaked it, the snow laid on it for days, and ice storms encased it, and the hot summer sun beat down on it until what once was an attractive little sports car became an eyesore eaten away by rust. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moths eat holes, and where rust rots, and where thieves break in and steal." Fortunately, most people that I know live in an area where people do not get broken into very often. Perhaps it has to do with all of the security systems that we have in our homes these days. But when it does happen, when there is a break-in, it's big news. Word spreads fast. "Hey, did you hear that so-and-so's house got broken into?" "No, I didn't hear that." "Well, you know, I think I'm going to be a little more careful now about making sure all of the doors and the windows are locked and the security system is on when I leave home." It's a familiar scenario and a constant reality. We live in a world where if we have anything that we value, there is always going to be someone else who might value that same thing enough to try to take it from us. Jesus urged his disciples then, and he urges us as his disciples now, not to make earthly treasures the ultimate concern of our life. But we live in a world, indeed we live in an economy that is based on its ability to make us want things, its ability to make us buy more and more stuff, whether we need it or not. When people do not spend, in fact, the economy hurts and it goes downhill. Our economic system is dependent upon its ability to make you and I want to lay up for ourselves, want to buy up, want to save enough earthly stuff for ourselves. Author Mark Buchanan writes, "We belong to the cult of the next thing." The cult of the next thing is consumerism, cast in religious terms. It has its own litany of sacred terms, like buy more. You deserve it. Your family needs it. It's faster, it's cleaner, it's brighter. And the cult of the next thing has its own liturgy. Charge it. Instant credit. No down payment. Interest-free for 60 months. The cult of the next thing teaches us that our lives can be measured by the abundance of our possessions. And those caught up in the cult of the next thing live endlessly for the next thing. They live for the next weekend, they live for the next vacation, they live for the next purchase, they live for the next experience. Life is always lived for the next thing. It's such an easy trap for us to fall into because every day our minds and our senses are bombarded by messages about how we need the thing that is newest, the thing that is better, the thing that is brighter, the thing that is faster. The minute we buy a cell phone, not much longer, a better cell phone comes out. Oh, it's faster. Oh, it doesn't just have one camera lens in it, it has two camera lenses in it. Oh, by the way, now we have one that has three camera lenses in it for you. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? The same is true of TV sets. We no sooner buy a TV set until they come out with one that is bigger and one that has a clearer picture. In every area of our lives, in every segment of our economy, there is always the next thing designed to make us buy and capable of keeping our lives focused on earthly things rather than on those things that are eternal, everlasting, and of never-ending value. It's the world we live in. It's a temptation that we face constantly. But Jesus not only shows us the impermanence of possessions, he also shows us the impact of possessions. He shows us the impact that possessions can have on us. Jesus says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, what you treasure is what you love. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Or where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You've heard the expression, she had her heart set on that dress. Or, he had his heart set on seeing that football game. If you've ever had your heart set on anything, and my guess is that you have, if you've ever had your heart set on anything, you know that when you have your heart set on something, that those things can end up governing and controlling your life. Those things govern how you spend your time. Those things govern how you relate to other people. Those things govern how you spend your money. Those things govern. They can even govern your moral values. Bruce Kanner, in a book called Are You Normal About Money?, points out sadly and shocking, some sad and shocking things that were found in her study about the impact that money can have on lives. Her study showed that for $10 million, one in four of us would willingly abandon all their friends. Not a friend left? Here's your $10 million. Jesus said what you value would determine how you act. Do you value money or do you value your friends? Her study showed that 90% of those surveyed said that they would rather be rich than find love for a lifetime. 90% said they'd rather be rich than find love for a lifetime. What you value determines how you live. And 65% said that for $1 million, they would leave their children and their marriage and their job behind and live on a desert island for 1 year. 65%. Jesus said, what you value determines how you treat others, how you will live, how you can be trusted or not. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what are the things, or what are some of the things that, some of the places, some of the ways that we can store up treasures in heaven? Let's go back to that passage from Matthew chapter 6. I didn't read this as part of the scripture lesson, but there are some hints in here as to how we can store up treasures for ourselves in heaven. In the very first part of chapter 6, the one that we read for him already, it says, "Be careful that you do not act, that you do your acts of righteousness before men to see them. If you do, you will not be rewarded by your Father. So when you give to the needy, do not announce with a trumpet as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets." So one of the ways in which we can store up for ourselves treasures in heaven that cannot be destroyed, that moth and rust cannot get to, and that thieves cannot get to, is by giving to needy, to give to the needy, to share the abundance of what God has given to us. Then in verse 5, it talks about, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogue. I tell you, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father. Then your Father who sees what is in secret will reward you." Aha! Another hint, another clue. One of the treasures that we can store up for ourselves is time spent with God. Time spent in prayer, time spent in studying scripture, time spent in quiet and in solitude. Store up treasures for yourself in heaven. Moth and rust and thieves cannot take this time from us. In verse 14, it says, "If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Wow. That's a hard treasure to get your hands on, but that's a way of storing up treasures in heaven. By forgiving those who have offended you, by letting go of past offenses, and forgiving others even as you have been forgiven. If you forgive people, that's not something that moth and rust or thieves can affect. It's a treasure that you can take with you to heaven. But the ultimate treasure that we can store up for ourselves, the ultimate treasure that we can have, take with us to heaven, the ultimate treasure is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ that is daily, that is personal, and that is eternal. When we are committed to that relationship with Jesus Christ, nothing can take it from us. Not rust, not moths, not thieves. That personal relationship with Jesus Christ is what we can take with us to heaven. This passage from Matthew 6 is not a hard passage to understand. The words of Jesus are perfectly clear. You don't need to be a college dean with infinite wisdom to grasp them. The real difficulty, the real challenge, is in doing that. Do not store up treasures on earth, but store up treasures in heaven. It's a part of our daily lives. It's a part of what we do and how we live. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for all of your goodness to us. We thank you for all of the treasures that you have given to us. Lord, keep us from being greedy. Keep us from focusing on those treasures, but help us to keep our eyes on you, the one who lived and who died and who lives even now, so that we might live eternally with you. Lord, help us not to store up treasures on earth, but to store up treasures with you in heaven. We pray in your name. Amen. Now let us share together in this hymn that was sung recently here at La Trobe United Presbyterian Church. Now let us go into the world in peace, and may the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.